with the 51st pick of the 2018 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Anthony Miller, receiver, Memphis.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Pro Football Focus. We're here breaking down the 2018 NFL Draft. Day two is in the books, so we're going to dig deep in here, looking at James Daniels, the offensive lineman from Iowa, and Anthony Miller, the wide receiver from Memphis. We'll hear directly from General Manager Ryan Pace, giving his thoughts on his two second-round picks this year, and we'll give a little bit of a scouting report here on both of these prospects, look at some of their strengths and their weaknesses, and we'll dive into exactly how they fit onto this Bears roster in 2018. We start, of course, with the 39th overall pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, James Daniels, center from Iowa. And instant reaction to a pick like this was simply, yes, an offensive lineman, priority number one for me in this draft. When you let Josh Sitton go this offseason, a decision we talked about so many times on this podcast, still doesn't quite add up for me. You needed to address the interior of your offensive line. You know, they didn't get Quentin Nelson, eighth overall. He went before the Bears picked, kind of as we expected here. And so as the first round went on, you kind of got into the 20s there, and there was a little bit of run on these guys. You know, Frank Ragnow from Arkansas went, Isaiah Wynn went to the Patriots. There was also Billy Price from Ohio State. Some of those guys kind of went in a bit of a stretch there, finally cooled down as the first round ended. But we were heading into day two, and like we talked about after the Roquan Smith pick, we weren't sure exactly if the Bears were going to be able to land one of these guys. You know, Will Hernandez was still on the board. You know, there were a few prospects here that we were wondering if they would fall. But, you know, Ryan Pace had talked about potentially trading back into the first round. We don't know exactly what they were going after, but either way, they stayed at 39, they waited, and they got James Daniels to fall to them. And really, I feel like from a stylistic standpoint, Daniels is a better fit on this Bears team than Will Hernandez. You know, Hernandez, he's a mauler, and I think James Daniels is a little bit too, but Hernandez is more of a straight line guy, a little bit more of a better fit in terms of a gap scheme as opposed to the zone running offense that the Bears employ. You know, Hernandez is a great offensive lineman. He's just not as great laterally. He's a little bit more north-south, and I think James Daniels is better laterally than he is north-south. And when we look at Daniels as a prospect here, he's kind of like a little bit of a better Jonas Grassu, in my opinion. You know, that can be a little bit of a scary comparison right there, but I think there are similar weaknesses, but Daniels is more technically refined and has better strengths that get you a little bit more excited about him as a prospect. You know, he's big, he moves really well for his size, though. And a lot of that comes in terms of flexibility, you know, in his hips and his ankles. He's a guy that can get off of his spot, get around guys, and get to the spot that he needs to. It's not about running a fast 40 time. It's about that flexibility. It's about that short area quickness. It's about getting your feet moving quickly off the ground so you're not plodding and tromping and getting beat by quicker defensive tackles. I mean, this guy's not ready to beat Aaron Donald to the spot or anything like that, but he has more than enough quickness and he moves well, and that's exactly what you need in this zone blocking scheme. You know, he's got great hand technique to go with it, and I think that's critical. You know, I feel like offensive line play starts from the feet up, but hand technique is right there as the next most important thing. He gets his hands inside. He doesn't get outside and get too grabby. And he really just feels like a great fit for this Bears zone scheme. But when we look at the weaknesses here, this is a guy, again, notice some comparisons to Jonas Grassu because he needs to add more of that core strength. Sometimes he can get overpowered a little bit when it comes to bull rushes, and sometimes he doesn't move guys as much off the line of scrimmage as you would like to see. So he's technically sound in not always giving up penetration, but he's not showing enough of that ability to just drive someone 5 yards downfield. You know, he's good enough in that area, but you want a stronger punch. You want him to be able to generate more lower body explosiveness and really move guys in the line of scrimmage. And I also think he isn't as natural in space when he gets up to that second level. Sometimes, you know, he can't quite get to the linebacker at the proper angle if he's trying to get, you know, to spring that run, that next second gear downfield. There's just some awkwardness in space there. Sometimes changing direction to adjust to a faster linebacker is a little bit of a struggle for him. You know, it's just little things like that. And I also think in terms of pass protection, sometimes when teams are throwing some exotic blitzes his way, particularly a stunt looping around to the inside, sometimes he's just a little bit slower to react and make the play there than you'd like to see. But these are all things he can continue to work on. He's only 20 years old right now. He's still a young player that is still developing despite having some experience under his belt. And I think overall, he's a better run blocker than he is pass protector. The other concern with Daniels is the medical, which I think is part of why he slid all the way down to 39 for the Bears. He had some recurring knee issues at Iowa. I believe after the 2015 season, he had a partially torn meniscus, and he had to have surgery for that back in January of 2016. And that meniscus surgery kind of lingered, and he missed the first two games of the 2016 season. And then again, before this past year, 2017, he had a knee sprain during the summer that kept him out of the 2017 season opener. So it's only three missed games, but the concern is that it's the knee a couple times in a row. You know, that's part of why he fell here to the second round. Certainly he has his other flaws too, but there's a lot to like about him as a fit in this Bears offense and as filling a very critical position of need. I think this was a great pick. And Ryan Pace was really excited about landing this guy. Seems to be really high on a lot of his traits and isn't as concerned about the strength and the power as I laid out for you here. Take a listen to Ryan Pace speaking with reporters after day two of the draft about James Daniels.
So let's start off with James Daniels, second round, pick 39. One of the better interior linemen on our board. Value his position versatility. That's a strength. We believe he has that. Our plan right now is to start him off as guard, as his first position, cross-train him at center. Things that stand out with this player is quickness, leverage, balance, excellent technique and pass protection. A guy our scouts and coaches all valued highly, obviously. We're all on the same page on this one, and we're excited to add him.
Ryan, what qualities of James Daniels stand out to you? When did you first latch on to him as a guy you wanted to key on?
You know, it's a guy we've been talking about for a while. He's young. He's only 20 years old. He's very athletic. He plays a very good pad level. He's very quick off the ball. Very good technique, you know, like a lot of Iowa offensive linemen. It's a guy that Harry was really passionate about, too. We feel like there's still a lot of upside ahead of this player, as young as he is. One thing that jumps out with these guys is, too, is you see these offensive linemen kind of get caught in awkward positions, and he has the ability to kind of recover and maintain his balance, where some guys awkwardly go down in those moments. He doesn't do that.
Oh, Ryan, is Daniels big enough right now to play guard, or does he make up for kind of a lack of size with technique and other things?
Yeah, we think he's big enough. You know, you especially look at his lower body. You know, he's thick in the lower body. He's powerful in the lower body. Again, he's only being 20 years old. We do feel like there's still some growth potential ahead of him as well. I do think, as you said, it helps with the natural. He just plays with natural leverage and natural pad level that really helps him too. It helps with our projection when we look at him going to guard.
So when we plug James Daniels into this Bears offensive line here, it really is easier to feel comfortable about the guys that are going to be protecting Mitchell Trubisky and, of course, opening up lanes in the running game. You know, from left to right, you're looking at Charles Leno, James Daniels filling in at left guard, Cody Whitehair back at center, Kyle Long at right guard, and Bobby Massey at right tackle. I'm glad they see Daniels as a little bit more of a left guard than a center, just because Cody Whitehair is at his best at the center position. He's so smart. He understands the blocking schemes. He understands what defenses are trying to do to the Bears' blocking scheme, and he can communicate that well to the rest of the offensive line. And you just feel more comfortable kind of knowing you have a starting five in place here. I mean, I know Ryan Pace kind of talked about it being an open competition. They say that for everything. They want competition for the roster. And yes, you know, Eric Kush, maybe Hronus Grasu, Earl Watford, maybe Jordan Morgan, those guys are going to be able to compete for that starting job. But if you're drafting James Daniels in the second round and he can't win that competition with those three guys, those four guys with Jordan Morgan, he can't beat them out to start at left guard, then you have some pretty significant problems with your draft pick, in my opinion. So this seems unlikely that you have a starting offensive line combination of anything other than Leno, Daniels, Whitehair, Long, and Massey, barring injury, of course. And then when you're looking to fill out your 53-man roster and your depth chart here, it seems like Bradley Sowell is probably back as your swing tackle with that versatility to play guard. And then you're kind of seeing Eric Kush, Hronus Grasu, Earl Watford compete for that backup interior spot. You know, Kush has that versatility to be able to play center or guard, and Grasu hasn't shown much penchant to play guard, and Watford hasn't really played much center. So I would put my money right now on Kush being that seventh offensive lineman, and the Bears just kind of rolling with the versatility there to have more roster spots at other positions. And it feels like at this point, they're going to try and stash Jordan Morgan on the practice squad or injured reserve like they did this past year. You know, as intriguing as he was at a Kutztown, other teams don't have tape on him yet. The Bears are the only team that really knows what he can and can't bring. So he seems like a practice squad slash injured reserve candidate for me. But overall here, really easy to feel a lot better about this offensive line. You know, they added that missing piece. They added that left guard. And for me, it really does soften the loss of Josh Sitton. Then we move to Anthony Miller, who I think really does soften some of the loss of Cameron Meredith. You know, when the Bears made this trade up, I gotta say I wasn't crazy about the trade and the compensation they have to give up, because a future second plus a current fourth round pick really felt like a lot to me. And I know when you talk about the trade chart that when you're trading a future pick, it's sort of valued as a current pick, but down an entire round in the draft. And so from a number standpoint, from an arbitrary value standpoint, I think the Bears came out fine in terms of value there. But I really feel like that trade chart tends to operate in a vacuum. And it's not perfect, or I wish someone would really crunch some numbers and build like an updated trade chart as far as like actual team value, because it's clear that teams loosely follow it, but it never really quite operates that way. And I think it takes away too much of the context of the moves. You know, when you look at this Bears trade, that extra fourth round pick, yes, it was a luxury, but I really feel like you're going to miss that second round pick next year. And I know it's as though you're spending it this year, but you're spending that and a fourth round pick on this wide receiver. And I guess where I struggle with it is that I'm not as sold that Anthony Miller is that much better than some of the other wide receivers that were falling in this draft. I like Anthony Miller's tape a lot, but how much better is he than guys like, you know, Michael Gallup, who fell a little bit farther, or even some of the guys that fell all the way down to like the fourth round? And again, there's some hindsight here because Ryan Pace doesn't know which of these wide receivers are going to last how long. But, you know, when I see guys like Deshaun Hamilton, Jaleel Scott, Jamon Moore, Kiki Kuti all fall to this fourth round when the Bears had picks, is Anthony Miller that much better than those guys? So much better so that you give up a fourth round and your future second? You know, would you be better off having next year's second round pick and taking Deshaun Hamilton in the fourth round versus just Anthony Miller? For me, it's a little bit hard to accept that, but I do think they got a good wide receiver in Anthony Miller, and if he pans out the way he could based on his traits, then I don't think at the end of the day this trade compensation is going to make that big of an impact on the Bears. It's just something that at the time rubbed me a little bit the wrong way, but general manager Ryan Pace was not afraid to go up and get this prospect. Clearly, he's high on this wide receiver, and he was gushing about a lot of his traits when he spoke to reporters after the day two of the draft. He really likes a lot of what Anthony Miller is going to bring to this offense, and I think when you listen to Ryan Pace, it's easy to be sold here on the new weapon for Mitchell Trubisky.
Anthony Miller, Memphis, with the 51st pick, traded up in the second round. Excited about this player. He's competitive. He's tough. His route quickness, his hands, his work ethic, his mentality, all those things are infectious qualities that he possesses. He's a fun guy to watch on tape because how he plays.
Ryan, what about Miller's skill set fits this offense well, and how can he complement receivers like Robinson?
Yeah, he's, you know, he can. We believe he can play inside. We believe he can play outside. He's got a good route savvy, good route quickness, just knows how to set things up, really strong hands. He's got 10-inch hands, so he can really pluck the ball. Again, I think he's a versatile player in this offense that we can play outside or in the slot.
Ryan, when you watched the way Memphis used Anthony in a lot of different ways, different routes, whatnot, what kind of stood out to you about how that route tree, that offense can translate to what you guys do?
Yeah, because that's a good question, because a lot of these college receivers, you don't get to see him run the whole route tree, you know, and so you got to watch a lot of tape to feel that. One thing that stands out about Anthony, too, is his run after catch ability. As soon as he gets the ball in his hand, there's immediate burst, immediate acceleration. He's quickly downfield, and that's a good trait.
Anthony wrote a letter to GMs. I'm assuming you saw that. Did that have any impression on you at all?
It's powerful. You know, I think it just echoes with what we already know about him as a person, you know, and about his makeup. You know, when our scouts go through there and talk to coaches and equipment guys and trainers, and you hear all that information about it, then you read that, and it's very genuine of who he is.
Ryan, I don't know if Miller was as confident with you as he was with us when we talked to him, but when a player is that brash, especially a wide receiver, do you have to be aware or kind of look out to maybe that's kind of a red flag and not an indicator the other way? I mean,
yeah,
do you consider that at all?
I hear what you're saying. Matt and I were just talking about, we like that. You know, we like that. And, you know, Matt has a sign up in the building that says, Be you, you know, let your personality show. And that's the way he is, and we appreciate that about him, and we appreciate that confidence. And I think it's important at that position. You know, he's the kind of guy, he wants the ball in a critical situation at a critical moment. You want that in a receiver.
So when you listen to Ryan Pace, he kind of makes Anthony Miller sound like the best wide receiver in the draft and a surefire first round pick that they landed in the second round. And I do think there's a lot to like about Anthony Miller. So I'm not trying to be negative about this draft pick at all. I mean, he is a very good wide receiver. Let's just not get too over the top here with what he brings to this team. I mean, in terms of a stylistic comparison, I think you see the name Antonio Brown thrown out there a lot for Anthony Miller, which again, setting the bar maybe a little bit too high here. You know, I think a guy like Randall Cobb might be a more realistic name and even expectation for what Miller could be. I mean, Ryan Pace kind of talked about it. He's a strong route runner. Really, I think, instinctive after the catch and not easy to bring down despite being, you know, a 5'11 receiver. He fights through that contact. He's not afraid to, you know, go through a defender, try and get between a couple of them. But he also knows how to set up blocks downfield or on screen passes. And it's encouraging to see a guy be able to offer that after the catchability in addition to some of the before the catchability here. I mean, he's got the body control to make awkward catches and to keep his toes in at the sideline. He has that awareness of understanding where the defender is and how he can shield the ball with his body away from the defender. And he's also, I think, a pretty aggressive blocker, especially for a guy his size. He has that mentality that he's going to block the other guy downfield, and he's gonna make an impact in the running game. And so there are a lot of reasons to like Anthony Miller. But I think one of the things that gets a little bit overlooked with him is his hands. You know, there's some inconsistency there. And I'm surprised Ryan Pace was quick to say he's got strong hands, because he does have big hands. But there are some inconsistencies there with being able to haul in some of the low passes. I mean, looking at the Pro Football Focus numbers for him in the PFF draft guide, you can see he has 12 drops in 2017. That gave him an 8% drop rate, which ranked 128th among wide receivers. I mean, when your tip, look, your typical average drop rate is more down in the 2, 3, 4, 5%. So he's down at 8%. That's not good. 8% of his catchable targets were dropped. And, you know, like we talked about with Jordan Howard, not all drops are created equal. And I'm not necessarily a proponent of this player drops balls, that means he's bad. But when we look at Miller specifically, there's something about his drops that's a technique issue. And that to me is much more of a concern than just some of the other things. When you blindly just say dropped passes equals bad hands, that's not necessarily the case with Miller. There's more nuance to it than that. Let's turn to friend of the show, Matt Waldman, here about Anthony Miller's hands and his drops, because I think he understands the wide receiver position as good as any scout or GM in the NFL, honestly. I mean, the way that he puts in his depth of not only film study, but understanding of what you're looking for when you're looking at the film. And I thought he had an excellent breakdown of what specifically is wrong with Anthony Miller's hands. And this, to me, is a perfect example of why Matt Waldman is really the best of the best here. I'm going to read you a brief section from Matt Waldman's rookie scouting portfolio. It's his draft guide about Anthony Miller's hands and specifically what's wrong. So Waldman writes, Miller's hand position is inconsistent. Using passive underhand technique reserved for low targets on passes where an active technique is preferable. When he doesn't attack the ball with active hands, he's prone to drops. Even when the targets call for low hands positions, he drops passes. Watch his tape at the beginning of games where he's targeted on wide routes or short throwouts to the flat, and you'll see a lot of those targets go through his hands. When targeted on slants and crossing routes, if the ball is near his knees will often interfere with his ability to retract the ball. Again, that is from Matt Waldman's rookie scouting portfolio, one of the best draft guides, if not the best draft guide out there. It's focused all on quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. Full-on fantasy football focus. You can purchase your copy at mattwaldmanrsp.com. So bigger point here, Anthony Miller's hands are an issue. There's a technique problem, but it's fixable. And there's so much to like before the catch and after the catch. It's easy to see why the Bears were excited about him, why they were willing to give up that second-round pick in the future, plus a fourth-round pick to go get him this year. Felt like a little bit rich of a compensation for me, but you package that with the personality, the confidence, the swagger, and the playmaking ability, and it's easy to be sold on a pick like this. And when you plug Anthony Miller into this Bears wide receiver depth chart, it's kind of like the offensive line here where you're feeling a little bit better about it. You know, it's Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, and Taylor Gabriel now, right at the top of your depth chart. And I think those three are really the only locks right now to make the 53-man roster. And it's hard to say whether Miller or Gabriel is your wide receiver two or wide receiver three. I have a feeling they'll both play a similar amount of snaps and kind of rotate with each other pretty regularly. So that line, I think, is going to be pretty blurry when you get past Allen Robinson. But you look at the rest of the depth chart, Kevin White, Benny Fowler, Marlon Brown, Josh Bellamy, they're all pretty much competing for two or three roster spots that's going to be primarily focused on special teams. And White, his contract's fully guaranteed, so the Bears wouldn't save any money by releasing him. So I don't know if they're going to move on there, but Bellamy seems to have a pretty good shot to make it on special teams. Fowler has upside there. Marlon Brown has offensive upside, but I wouldn't put too many eggs in that basket. You've got some options here. You've got some weapons for Trubisky at the receiver position. You have some special teams guys. And then you add in Trey Burton and Tariq Cohen at tight end and running back. And you've got yourself, I think, a pretty decent set of weapons here. You know, Miller and Gabriel and Burton and Cohen, they're all pretty movable pieces. They can play in the slot. They can play on the outside. Burton and Cohen, of course, can play tight end and in the backfield. And so I really like the idea of being able to come out in 11 personnel with Allen Robinson, Anthony Miller, Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton, and Tariq Cohen, because those are five players that can play wide receiver position anywhere. And you can also run the ball with six blockers if Burton's one of your blockers, although that is not one of his strengths. It really gives you a dynamic passing offense when you have that versatility across the board. And you got to feel like Mitchell Trubisky's pretty excited to get to work. Matt Nagy has got to be pretty excited to get to work. And I really do think there is a lot to like here from the first three rounds of the Bears draft. Of course, on our next Locked On Bears podcast, we're going to get into all things day three. We'll get through all the Bears draft picks. If they make trades, we'll be on top of that. We'll break down the positions they grab, maybe the things that they overlook. They don't end up addressing certain positions, edge rusher, defensive line, whatever. We will break down everything we need to from day three, maybe even touch on a few undrafted free agents. We'll see. And then this week on the podcast, I think we're going to try and go in depth on a few of these draft picks a little bit more with some guest experts that maybe know a little bit more about their college team or their position or whatever. And we'll also touch on some of these undrafted free agents as well, particularly if there's a few that stand out as having that high probability of making the 53-man roster. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you don't miss any of those. Whatever podcast listening app you prefer, we are on there. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Give Locked On Bears a like and a follow. You can also follow me on Twitter at CoxSports1. And there's also a Chicago Bears specific pro football focused Twitter account at PFF_Bears. All it does is tweet out PFF data about Chicago Bears players. There's tons of stuff on there already about the Bears draft picks. There'll be more about their day three picks and undrafted free agents. So I recommend you give them a follow there. After we wrap up the draft talk this week, we'll be kind of into the abyss of the offseason here. Not a lot happens between then and training camp, but we will still be here bringing you your regular dose of Chicago Bears talk. We'll find things to talk about. We will keep you entertained, and we will find reasons to bear down.